Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So, continuing our reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, thank you. And I'll just do something here. We're reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 12. And we're going to start verse 21. Okay. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Okay. Deki basse mukha chandra nayana badiya Tari basse pada padma ridaya tulia. Nityananda Prabhu continued, the king also expressed his desire to see the moon-like face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his eyes' full satisfaction. He would like to raise the lotus feet of the Lord to his heart. Yadyapi sunya prabhura komala hayamana Tatapi bahirde kahe nishtura vachana. Hearing all these statements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind was certainly softened, but externally he wished to speak some harsh words. Oops. Toma sabada icha e amare lana rajake milaha ihan Kata kete gya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can understand that you all desire to take me to Katak to see the king. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is naturally the reservoir of all kindness, and as soon as he heard the statement made by the king, his heart immediately softened. Thus the Lord was ready to go see the king even at Katak. He did not even consider allowing the king to come from Katak to Jagannath Puri to see him. It is significant that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind that he was ready to go see the king at Katak. Apparently, it was never expected that the king wanted to see the Lord at his place, but by way of being externally harsh, the Lord indicated that if all the devotees so desired, he would go to Katak to see the king. Okay, so you just heard that. Okay, what Prabhupada's saying in the purport. But here's the next thing that comes out of Lord Chaitanya's mouth. This is the next statement, okay, by Lord Chaitanya. He says, Paramartha takula loke karibe nindana loke rahu damadara karibe bartsana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, what to speak of spiritual advancement? All the people will blaspheme me. And what to speak of all the people, Damodar would chastise me. Toma sabara agnaya amina mila rajare, Damodar kahe yabe mila tabe tanre. I shall not meet the king at the request of all the devotees, but I shall do so if Damodar will give me permission. So I'm going to read the purport to that as well. From the spiritual point of view, a sannyasi is strictly forbidden to see materialistic people, especially a king who is always engaged in counting pounds, shillings, and pence. Indeed, the meeting between a sannyasi and a king is always considered abominable. A sannyasi is always subjected to public criticism, and a small fault on his part is taken seriously by the public. People actually expect a sannyasi to preach and not to take part in any social or political matters. If a sannyasi is subject to public criticism, his preaching will not be fruitful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically wanted to avoid such criticism so that his preaching work would not be hampered. It so happened that while the Lord was talking to his disciples at that time, the devotee Damodar Pandit was present. This Damodar Pandit was a very faithful devotee and a staunch lover of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whenever there was anything that might touch or taint the character of the Lord, Damodar Pandit would immediately point it out, not even considering the exalted position of the Lord. It is sometimes said that fools rush in where angels dare not, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to point out Damodar Pandit's foolishness in coming forward to criticize the Lord. Thus, the Lord indirectly hinted that if Damodar Pandit would give him permission, he would go to see the king. There was deep meaning in this statement, for it is a warning that Damodar should not dare criticize the Lord anymore, for it was not befitting his position as a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered the guide and spiritual master of all the devotees living with him. Damodar Pandit was one of them. And the Lord rendered Damodar Pandit a special favor by warning him to avoid criticizing him any further. A devotee or a disciple should never attempt to criticize the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. So just a little comment here. So you can't take the behavior of Lord Chaitanya and these great devotees at face value. It's not superficially. You know, it's like here in one statement, Lord Chaitanya is saying, he won't see the king, you know, even if all the devotees request him. But in the purport, Prabhupada's saying that as soon as he heard these words, his heart immediately softened. So externally, Lord Chaitanya is behaving very, not harshly, but sternly. I'm a sannyasi. No way I'm going to see the king. I don't care. Even if all of you request me to see the king, I'm not going to see the king. And then in the next breath, he gives that warning to Damodar. And only if Damodar gives me permission, which is really, he's being sarcastic. He's also making the point that Damodar better be careful because he better refrain from his habit of trying to correct me. See? So superficially, it appears that Lord Chaitanya is being very stern and, you know, he's giving these instructions out. But in the purport, Prabhupada's saying that as soon as he heard these words, you know, his heart had softened, and he was even willing to go to Cuttack, which, you know, King Prataparuja didn't have any intention of having Lord Chaitanya come to him. He was just wanting permission, can I come to see you? And in the purport, Prabhupada's saying, Lord Chaitanya, when he heard about Sarvabhauma's feelings towards him, he was prepared to even go to see him. See, so it's, you can't take these things at face value. Just like another example of that is when Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen. Everybody knows that story. You know, Shivananda Sen was making, he was the devotee, made all the arrangements for the devotees when they would go to Jagannath Puri every year. So at one point, you know, they had to, there was some downtime. I can't remember what the reason was, but they were all waiting around, and Lord Nityananda was, you know, getting hungry. Nobody, everybody was just waiting. You know, they were supposed to maybe going across the river or something like that. Anyway, when Shivananda Sen finally got back, Lord Nityananda was very disturbed, and he kicked him in the chest. And you know, so superficially, one might think, "Oh my God." Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen in the chest. He's really angry, and it's just that he's angry and nothing else. And actually, one of the son-in-law, I believe, I can't remember the relation, but there was a devotee who was related to Shivananda Sen, and he saw that, and he couldn't understand what was really going on. But his nephew was Srikanta or something like that, and he couldn't understand really what was going on. He was so disturbed by that, he left the party and he went ahead to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya and complain, basically. You know? Anyways, but the thing was, okay, he kicked them, but that in anger. But that anger was laden with love. And notice he wasn't really feeling any malice towards Shivananda Sen when he did that. There's such a deep undercurrent of love between these devotees. You know, superficially it appeared that he was Lord Nityananda was angry with Shivananda Sen. And I mean, in one sense, yeah, he was angry, but at the same time, it's anger, but it's there's a lot of love there between them, you know. And Shivananda Sen, he didn't get angry that Lord Chaitanya kicked him in the chest. He took it as a benediction. He took it as a blessing. Actually, even his wife kind of was disturbed, and she said, "Oh, you know, how'd it go?" Lord Nityananda said, he kicked him in the chest and he said, I can't remember if he said, Lord Nityananda, Shivananda Sen wound up saying something like, let our sons die or something. How does it go? Nityananda cursed his sons to die as well. He said, yeah, let my sons die, but, you know, Lord Nityananda shouldn't be unhappy. Anyway, so these dealings between the devotees like this are very, you know, they're very deep. There's a lot of transcendental emotions and understandings underlying the external behavior of these confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya. And Maharaj Pratapuja is one of them, actually. I mean, just stop and think about his situation. He's the king, okay? He's the king of whatever it was, Orissa. And very exalted position. And he wants to see Lord Chaitanya. Now, somebody upon here, and he's expressing that if he doesn't get to see Lord Chaitanya, he wants to give up his kingdom, give up his life. You know, why? Somebody might upon here, as you know, somebody who's not a devotee who doesn't understand anything about these things, might say upon hearing this, might say, well, what's the guy's problem? What's the big deal? Why is he getting so? He's the king. Why is he so? Because he's experiencing a very profound state of transcendental emotion. Yeah. There's a very nice verse that kind of touches upon this. It's Prabhupada quotes it in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the first chapter. And I'll just read it here. It kind of gives a bit of an insight into what's going on here. And this verse was quoted by I believe Rupa Goswami, at the time when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And it goes, okay, it's just from the Govinda Lilamrita. Yoginamatam bhuvanam dayalor ulagayan apyakarot pramatam swarupena sampat Sudaya Bhutehem Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mamum Prapaje. Let me surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful personality of Godhead. He delivers those souls who emerged in ignorance and offers them the highest gift, love of Krishna, and thus makes them mad for Krishna consciousness. See? So I think that's what's happening here. A lot of these devotees, you know, when they come in contact with Lord Chaitanya, they become mad for Krishna consciousness. And Maharaj Pratapuja is an example of that. He's mad. He's mad for Krishna consciousness. I mean, why is he so impatient? He has to see the Lord to the point where he's going to give up his kingdom and give up his life and, you know, become a mendicant. He's been struck. What? There's a verse, Vijay quotes it sometimes when he gives a class, about just as a young boy desires the association. What's that verse? No, you know it. Yeah, I've heard you quote it in class. Just as a young boy desires the association of a young girl in the same way, let my mind be attracted to you. Huh? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so it seems like these devotees, Maharaj Pratapuja, he's got that. He's feeling that kind of attraction. He's feeling like he's got to have the association of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, he just he's feeling really uncomfortable, incomplete, or how are you, what's the correct word? So anyway, and that's consistent with what we've learned about, you know, Krishna consciousness from Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya, he only left 8 verses in writing, and the last few express that same sort of a sentiment. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your holy name? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in this world in your absence. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall always remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He's completely free to do anything and he's completely free to do anything and everything. He's always my worshipful Lord. No, it's separation. They're feeling this like, I don't have Krishna's association, and I got to have Krishna's association. And Lord Chaitanya was even, you know, expressing that himself. Vipralamba Seva, that's referred to. So there's an aspect of that here that, you know, this Maharaj Pratapruja, he's been like stung by that. He's in this state of consciousness where, despite the fact that he's a king, he's already a devotee. I mean, what's, you know. But he has to have that. He's feeling like his life is worthless. His life is not, what to speak of, not complete. His life is worthless if he can't get the darshan, if he can't somehow get that some mercy from Lord Chaitanya. It's a really amazing state of consciousness when you stop and think about it. Anyway, reading on. Text 26. Damodar kahe tumi svantantara ishvara kartavya kartavya sabatomara gochara. Damodar immediately replied, "My lord, you are the fully independent supreme personality of Godhead. Since everything is known to you, you know what is permissible and what is not permissible. Ami kon shudra jiva tomake vidi diba apani milibe tandre taho dekiba. I am merely an insignificant jiva. So what power do I have to give direction to you? By your own personal choice, you will meet the king. I shall see it." Raja tomare sneha kare tumi sneha vasa tandra snehe karabai tandre tomara parasa. The king is very much attached to you, and you are feeling affection and love toward him. Thus I can understand that by virtue of the king's affection for you, you will touch him. Actually, there was one more point I wanted to make in this. In this purport, he was making this point about talking about how Lord Chaitanya, he wouldn't see him. A sannyasi should not see somebody who's a pound, shilling, and pence person. And the sannyasi is always subjected to public criticism, and some fault on his part is taken seriously by the public. So, just a point there is that. People actually expect a sannyasi to preach and not take part in any social and political matters. If a sannyasi is subject to public criticism, his preaching will not be fruitful. Just a point there is that, it's very important, not just for sannyasis, but leaders within the Krishna conscious movement has to be very careful to be, as much as possible, try to be beyond criticism, be kind of squeaky clean. Because as soon as you're in a position of leadership, sannyasi, GBC, guru, temple president, anybody, you know. A certain standard of behavior is expected of you, and also a certain amount of respect is offered to persons who are in these positions. So, if the personalities in those positions don't keep to those standards, it's kind of a form of cheating almost. It's disappointing, and it's not really fair. It's very important that I have some notes here. Yeah, it's actually kind of the opposite of the service attitude. You know, this. So it's something one should be very on guard against. To be careful that if you're in a position where you have like some, you're receiving some preferential respect, treatment, whatever, that to make sure you have to keep to that standard. Otherwise, followers become disillusioned, and it causes a problem socially. So I just want to make that point. Okay, getting back to where we're up to. Can I read this one? Yadyapi Ishvara Tumi Paramash Van Svatantra Tatapi Swabhave Hayo Prema Paratantra. Although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and completely independent, still you are dependent on the love and affection of your devotees. That is your nature. Nichananda Kahe Aiche Haya Kon Jana Ye Tomare Kahe Kara Raja Darashana. Translation. Nityananda Prabhu then said, who is there in the three worlds who can ask you to see the king? Kintu anuragi lokera swabhava ekahaya istana paila nija prana se chadaya. Still, isn't it the nature of an affected man, isn't it the nature of an attached man to give up his life if he does not attain his desired object? Yajnika Brahmani Sabha Tahite Pramana Krishna Lagi Prati Age Chadileki Prana. For instance, some of the wives of the Brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their lives in the presence of their husbands for the sake of Krishna. Purport. This refers to the day Lord Krishna and his cowherd boys and flocks of animals were present on the pasturing grounds near Mathura. At that time, the cowherd boys, being a little hungry, requested food, and Lord Krishna asked them to go to the Brahmanas, who were engaged nearby in performing yajna, or sacrifice, and to get some food from the yajna. Being so ordered by the Lord, all the cowherd boys went to the Brahmanas and asked them for food. But they were denied. After this, the cowherd boys begged food from the wives of the Brahmanas. All these wives were very much devoted to Lord Krishna in spontaneous love. And as soon as they heard the request of the cowherd boys and understood that Krishna wanted some food, they immediately left the place of sacrifice. They were very much chastised for this by their husbands, and they were ready to give up their lives. It is the nature of a pure devotee to sacrifice his life for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, that's an important sentence there. It is the nature of a pure devotee to sacrifice his life for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That's what makes it such a pleasure to be a member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Because in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, there are many devotees who fit that description. They're ready to sacrifice they've sacrificed their lives for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. I mean, this situation is kind of, it's similar in many ways to the wives of the Brahmanas, because, you know, devotees come in contact with Krishna consciousness and they hear the philosophy and they understand that, okay, Prabhupada wanted us to, you know, to follow this, and he also wanted us to spread this movement. And, becoming a member of the Krishna Conscious Movement, especially back in the late 60s, 70s, was not like a very popular thing. I mean, it was popular in the sense that different people did it, but socially, we weren't perceived as being very wonderful personalities for doing that. I mean, devotees were subjected to a lot of criticism, but they were willing to do that. Let's find the exact words here. They were chastised. Well, we were criticized. I mean, when we went out in public as devotees, ridiculed, made fun of. People thought we were ridiculous. But just like the husbands were chastising their wives, but devotees weren't concerned. You know, they just wanted to. Their concern was to please Prabhupada, and they didn't care what people thought about them. You know, they didn't care what their parents thought about them, what their old friends thought about them, what their relatives thought about them, what their former teachers or the general public thought about them. They had this desire to please Prabhupada, and they were willing to tolerate all sorts of, undesirable opinions on the part of the public, which make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, nobody enjoys being in a position where you don't feel you're appreciated. So, and the devotees have to, tolerate a lot, especially in preaching, come across that a lot. But it's like, for the devotees, it was something they were willing to undergo because of their love for Prabhupada. And just like the wives of the Brahmins had love for Krishna, so they weren't concerned about that. The nature of a pure devotee is to sacrifice his life for the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So as I said, it's a blessing, it's an honor, and it's a pleasure to be living in the association of people who have that consciousness. You know, it really makes it it's a very nice experience. It's very different from living in the material world, and you can feel that when you come in contact with the Krishna conscious movement. On Sunday I attended a initiation ceremony that was performed by Radhanath Maharaj up at Silicon Valley. So after his lecture and after the initiations, different people were given the opportunity to speak. So the mother of one girl there spoke, and she said her daughter got initiated that day, and her daughter brought her to Krishna consciousness. You know, her daughter preached to her after she became a devotee, and her daughter brought her to the temple in Denver. And she made this statement, she made this comment that actually when I came to the temple in Denver, it was the first time I felt like I was home. And she got such a good feeling coming to the temple from, the devotees, from the atmosphere, from the people. I mean, the atmosphere is created by the people that are there. So she felt so welcome, so, loved, so appreciated, and she just like was overwhelmed by that. She's now a devotee herself. Her daughter got initiated, and she's a devotee, just because she felt, was made to feel so good, so comfortable, so loved, so appreciated by the devotees there. And so I thought that was significant. And also, that same day, earlier that day, I went on Sankirtan. I just kind of went down the street to the a shopping center, down the Walmart, Trader Joe's parking lot. And right as I was finishing up, I was finished. I was just walking back to the van to drive back to the temple. And I saw this guy sitting in his car with his door open, and he had a little mirror, and he was looking at himself in the mirror. And he had a shaved head, So I just thought, just to be friendly, it was Sankirtan. So I just called all over to him. He was about as far away from me as I am from from Madhav Mahotsava. I said, hey, don't worry, you still look good, man. You still look good. And, he didn't know if I was kind of trying to make fun of him or what. He kind of first looked up like that, and I said something else. He kind of relaxed. Anyway, I went over to him, and I started talking with him. And it worked out. He was interested. I could see he was interested in spiritual life. He was a seeker. So I gave him the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. First I gave him the science of self-realization. I showed him where to, the part where he could learn how to chant. And then I could see this guy was really interested. So I gave him another book, and I told him, and I asked him for a donation. He said, well, I can't. Anyway, to get to the point, I invited him to the temple, and he came. And he came to the temple. He showed up. He was there for the entire lecture Radhanath Maharaj gave. At the end, he met Vaisheshika, and he really like was super impressed. And they were talking to each other like they knew each other for years. Somebody, I think Ananda Kirtan, made that comment to me because he observed when he met Vaisheshika. And he said to me after, he said, I can't remember when I've been in a place with so many people and I felt so comfortable. Same thing. This is unsolicited, just a guy off the street. And he's coming, and he's there in the Association of Devotees, and he just felt the good energy. I think I should talk. These are the words he used. So, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. We're very fortunate to be members of the Krishna consciousness movement. If for no other reason, just because we have the association of other members of the Krishna consciousness movement, other people who are dedicating their lives to trying to follow Prabhupada. You know, we could take it for granted, but people outside appreciate it. And as I said, that mother and this guy just coming right off the street, they felt something special was, you know, we had something special happening in the association of the devotees. So I just want to put that out there. Eka yukti ache yari kara avadana tumina milileha tandre rahe tandra prana. Nityananda Prabhu then submitted one suggestion for the Lord's consideration. There is a way, he suggested, by which you need not meet the king, but which would enable the king to continue living. Eka bahir vasa yadi deha kripakari taha prana prana raki tomara asadari. If you, out of your mercy, send one of your outward garments to the king, the king would live, hoping to see you sometime in the future. Purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was thus very tactfully suggesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give a piece of his old clothing to the king. Even though the king was not fit to meet the Lord, the king would then be pacified by receiving such a cloth. The king was very much anxious to see the Lord, yet it was not possible for the Lord to see him. Just to resolve the situation, Nityananda Prabhu suggested that the Lord send an old piece of clothing. Thus the king would understand the Lord was showing mercy to him. The king would then not do anything drastic like giving up his life or becoming a mendicant. So I'll stop there. Actually, it's 10 past. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say? Yeah. I'm going to wait for a mic or what? Wait, he's going to give you a microphone. We got people on the internet listening, so hang on. Start from the scratch. Yeah, take it from the top and do the mic.
In the purport, the brahmanas' wives were willing to sacrifice their lives, and you're mentioning how you feel so grateful for being in this movement, feeling at home. We can maybe I can ask you. I can give two examples of devotees in our movement who gave up their lives. I personally saw Jayananda in New York, and practically he gave up. He was coming out of a hospital just a few days before the Rath Yatra started, and he was in great pain the whole time he was walking and carrying Jagannath down Fifth Avenue. And he practically gave up his life the way he served. And then there's devotees in Russia who we know were persecuted and died in psychiatric wards.
Yeah. I mean, those are extreme examples. Those are great examples. But, you know, to different degrees, practically all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, they're not literally giving up their life in the sense of, like, dying, but sacrificing a lot to do this. I mean, a lot of the devotees who are in the movement, if they weren't trying to be such serious devotees, they could be outside, they could have nice homes and cars and this and that, but they're, you know, forgoing all that to just live here and dedicate their time and their energy and their resources to trying to practice Krishna consciousness and, most importantly, spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's something that, you know, we should kind of try to be mindful of and appreciate that devotees are making sacrifices. They could be doing other things with their lives, but they're trying to do this, and that's very glorious. That's the point I was kind of trying to make. Yeah, Mother Kriya Shakti. And that's the point. It's appreciated. It's not going unappreciated. Even like a guy off the street, a mother of a devotee, sometimes you get so close to something you don't see it, but other people, they're appreciating it. They see it and they appreciate it, yeah.
I'd like to just tell a short pastime of Srila Prabhupada in one of the Rath Yatras that he attended. And this was in 19, 1976. It was the bicentennial year in Philadelphia, and the devotees knew for a year before that he was going to come for that Rath Yatra. So they started collecting materials for the cart a year before, and they started just working with whatever they had, and the cart ended up being like 50 feet long. It was really long. And then they tried to figure out what kind of wheels they could do for this, and they ended up getting 8-foot electrical spools. I mean, that's 3 feet taller than I am. That's 8 feet tall, and they three of them together. And then they got a bandsaw, and they cut out scalloped wheels for this cart. And when Srila Prabhupada saw the cart, he spent like 15 or 20 minutes looking at the wheels, and he said that whoever designed these, they were inspired by the architects, the heavenly architect,
Vishvakarma.
And so Srila Prabhupada, the route of the Rath Yatra was supposed to go towards Independence Hall and then make a turn at the art museum with a rotary, a roundabout. And there was a separate function that was happening at the art museum, and the cart proceeded to the route and made the turn and the roundabout. And everyone was in bleachers at the art museum. And when they saw the cart, they thought this was part of the event, and they all cheered and everything. And probably made them go around again. So they went around once, and then they went twice, you know, and they went on their way. So everyone got mercy from Srila Prabhupada. He was on the cart. He rode on the cart that year. And it was raining the whole time that up to the point where the parade was supposed to take off, it was raining. And when Srila Prabhupada went up to the cart and sat on the Vyasa sign, the sun came out, and it was a sunny event. And when they were first getting, when they had first taken the cart down to the street to start the parade, the lieutenant chief of police, who was the inspector for the parade, he said, "No way." He said, "There's no way that this cart is going to go down the street. It's too big. It's like just enormous." And so one devotee tried to talk him into it, another devotee. It took like five separate devotees to finally talk him into it. He said, "Okay." And they got the permit at the like 0 hour to go down to the event. And when they arrived at the park and had the festival afterwards, and Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture, it was popular at that time for streakers, people to, you know, run naked across an event, remember? And there was a streaker at the event, and he ran across the field, and Prabhupada integrated that into his lecture.
Thank you. That was nectar. Anybody else like to say anything? Okay, thank you very much. Gantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Hari Bol.